when you are proactively needing to put effort and energy into doing that, as opposed to doing something where you're already there. We would think, one would think, that the opposite is true. One would think that if a person is on a level when you have no Yetzirah, and you are floating in the clouds, and you are doing mitzvahs, you're coasting, it's amazing. So you would think that that is the higher level. Means that you have already reached, you know, you're an angel floating in the clouds. You don't have any Yetzirah, you don't have any earthly pull. You would think that that's the higher level. Chassidus explains, no, that's not really the higher level. Really, the higher level is, and that's why we were created, not to be neshama souls floating in Atzilos, floating in the higher worlds. We could have been angels. In that case, Hashem didn't need to create people. And that, if that was the highest level possible, Hashem doesn't need to create human beings in a physical world. Hashem would not create a physical world that has all kinds of negativity in it. The reason that Hashem creates a physical world, the reason that the physical world has all kinds of temptations and negativity, the reason that we are put here and not remaining up in the spiritual world, is because we are supposed to be creating energy by pushing back against temptation, against just inertia. Inertia itself is a force that we're supposed to be pushing back. So this is what the Alter Rebbe says. This explains the Talmudic statement that he who serves Hashem refers to a person who reviews his studies 101 times. A person who serves him not refers to a person who reviews his studies only 100 times. Now, this seems strange that one time should make the whole difference. And the answer is, yeah, you know why it makes a difference? Because as soon as you go out of your box, as soon as you leave the level that you're at, the plateau that you're at, that means that you are now working. Now you're climbing the mountain and you're no longer on the rock shelf. Now you're once again trying to go higher. Gemara gives the example, the Alter Rebbe says, from a market of the donkey drivers, Uber drivers, donkey drivers, whatever it was, people that are carrying people or packages. If you want to go a certain distance, yes, in New York City taxi drivers, the first certain amount is a certain amount. Even if you go less than that, it's a certain amount. But if you're going to go every additional amount over that, it's double. Why is it double? Because the donkey is not used to going that far. Because the donkey driver is not used to going that far. One zuz for 10 parsi, two zuz for 11 parsi. Because the 11th mile is now making the donkey and the donkey driver work much, much harder than they're used to working. So therefore, when a person studies 101 times, that's way beyond the normal practice. And it's equivalent to all of the previous 100 studies, 100 reviews before that. Not only is it equivalent, but it actually raises the individual who studies that 101st time to a totally new level. Now they're called a person who is actively serving Hashem, actively working on the relationship with Hashem, actively pushing back against the inertia and against the materialistic pull of the world just to do something else. Because in order, because in order to do that, how can you do that? Where does the person get the energy? Where does the person get the ability to push back and to go more than what you're used to doing? The answer is, in that case, you can no longer rely on the hidden love for Hashem. You can no longer rely on the natural state of how you're feeling. Because if you're relying on the natural state of how you're feeling, you're only going to do the natural state of doing, which is learning 100 times. If you want to learn 101 times, you have to think about it. You have to be actually mindful. You have to actually, and the Alter Rebbe says in the language of the Tanya, you have to wake up the love for Hashem that is in your mind and not just have it latent, not just have it sleeping and hidden in your heart. And then when a person is actively thinking now about the greatness of Hashem and how amazing this relationship would be if only I would do this more thing, and therefore I should do it because this and that is that. Oh, now you're in a whole different spot. Now you're not just a machine. Now you're actually a mindful individual who is working on the relationship because you are consciously deciding and consciously realizing how wonderful it would be to have this relationship. This is gold. This is unbelievable. Totally different thing than a person who's just showing up why are you showing? That's what I do every day. I go to shul. I daven. Person says, "What do you do on Shabbos?" On Shabbos, I don't do anything. I keep Shabbos and stuff. But if you have to work for it, oh, it's a totally different thing. It's not just something that you do because you do. Oh, you're mindful. Totally different person. Totally different level of relationship with Hashem. And this is, and Alter Rebbe says, this is the goal for a Beinoni. Alter Rebbe calls it an avoda tama. This is a complete, if you do this, 100%, you have done what you are supposed to do. To overpower your animal soul through a love of Hashem, which is generated by meditating and understanding Hashem's greatness, that's what the Beinoni's job is. The Beinoni cannot, as we explained before, actually convert the animal soul into a willing partner. The Beinoni can't do that. Just to remind you, the Beinoni, the Alter Rebbe did say that it is possible to during davening and even to stretch that attitude of davening throughout the whole day, that you should feel like a tzaddik, you should feel as if the animal soul is actually your willing partner, even though it's not, it's just stunned, it's just sleeping, it's just suspended animation, because you're not really a tzaddik. So that is what a Beinoni is supposed to do. An alternate type of service for a Beinoni is to arouse to a revealed state the love of Hashem inherently found hidden in his heart, to control the nature that is in the left part of the heart. That means that a Beinoni can either the preferred method, avoda tama, meaning what a Beinoni is really supposed to do, if you want to be a complete Beinoni, 100% mark on your test as a Beinoni, is to proactively meditate on the greatness of Hashem through studying Chassidus, through studying Torah, through davening, and that love of Hashem that comes from your meditation, from your intellectual exercise, from using your head, using your brain, should then control your heart, should then control your actions. And that is what a Beinoni is supposed to do. Even though you're being pulled in different directions, your head, because you've thought the whole thing through, your head controls you. That's the Alter Rebbe says, is the best way. There is, however, another way, the Alter Rebbe says, it's not as good. Not as good, but also effective. It's not as great in the process because you are not that connected or as much connected the love for Hashem is not as great, but it is effective. And effective is a wonderful thing. To be effective and to actually do what the Beinoni needs to do, which is at the end of the day, what does the Beinoni need to do? The Beinoni needs to not have the Yetzer Hara invest itself or control his thoughts, speech, or action. That's what you got to do. Intellectually, how to get to that spot, the Alter Rebbe is now giving us two different ways. Number one, which is the complete service, the best way is through intellectually reaching that decision through an understanding and a deep understanding of spirituality. That's the best way. But there is another way, and that other way also is effective, which again is very important. And that is just wake up the natural love for Hashem so that you feel it a little bit. In other words, when a person is not thinking at all about their relationship with Hashem, and why are you going to shul? Because that's what I do every day. I was trained by my parent. My father told me, go to shul. So I go to shul. Why are you keeping kosher? Why? I would never eat treif. I never ate treif in my life. Why are you keeping Shabbos? Why wouldn't I keep Shabbos? Shabbos is what I do. That's what I do. On Sunday, I do this. On Monday, I do this. On Tuesday, and on Shabbos, I do this. That's what I do. So if that's your attitude, so you ask the person, what are you doing it for Hashem? So I guess so. I must be doing it. Who am I doing it for? Myself? But if you think about it, yeah, you are doing it for yourself because that's your comfort zone. So anytime you are remaining within your comfort zone, by definition, who are you doing it for? Yourself. You want to be comfortable. So if being comfortable for this individual, a person raised religious family, religious background, my comfort zone is eating kosher. I would feel funny if I ate treif, person says. My comfort zone is going to shul on Shabbos. I love going to shul. I love having my family around me. That's my comfort zone. Who am I doing it for? Myself. Now, is there something wrong with that? Well, no, you're doing the mitzvah. Is there something right with that? Well, who knows? You know, maybe also no. Because why are you supposed to be doing mitzvahs? Supposed to be doing it for Hashem. So if a person is doing a mitzvah, and the reason that you're doing the mitzvah is simply to remain within your comfort zone because it makes you happy, well, you're not really doing the mitzvah for the right reasons. You're supposed to be doing it because God said so, and it's part of a relationship. So the Rebbe explains to us that if you just wake up a little bit, you don't have to go like totally out of your box, become the biggest understander of the mystical and the spiritual, this and that. That would be amazing if you did that. If you could, that's the best level for a Beinoni. But even to just wake up a little bit, just start to think a little bit, wake up a little bit, the natural love for Hashem, so that you feel it a little bit. So now you ask the person, why are you keeping Shabbos? Oh, I'm keeping Shabbos because it's such a wonderful spiritual day. Do you feel it? Well, yeah, I'm thinking about it. You know, it's something that I have in front of my mind. When I make Kiddush on Shabbos, person says, it says in the Kiddush, what does it say in the Kiddush? It says, you chose us, Hashem. You chose us from all the other nations. Just think about that concept. When you're making Kiddush, not how is the wine going to taste, not what kind of wine am I drinking and what kind of fish and side dishes and so on and so forth, or the people around the table. But think about, I'm making Kiddush. Why am I making Kiddush? Because Hashem has sanctified us. Because this is a proactive declaration that I am entering this amazing relationship. It's amazing, not relationship, but display of our of the relationship that we have. So just be a little bit more aware. And therefore, this alternate service is also called serving Hashem, although it's an imperfect service. He wage war against his nature, inflation may arouse the love hidden in his heart. If, however, he wages no war at all, he doesn't engage in anything, then this love can no way be credited to his service, and therefore he is called someone who serves him not. So you don't want to be, so what we've now explained, and this is the end of the chapter, what we've now explained is that the Beinoni, even if you're doing everything perfectly, you still have to do it for the right reasons. And that we can understand this from all kinds of relationships. Person has your best friend, spouse, whatever it is, doing everything right, checking off all the boxes, but just coasting, nobody likes that. So Hashem doesn't like it either. And this is what it is. And Alter Rebbe gives us two different ways to express proactively that we are not just coasting, but that we're actually having him in mind and not just ourselves in mind. And one is through meditation, through study, through actually understanding what you're doing, understanding the levels, and understanding the spiritual energies. And that's what Chassidus is all about. And the second level, the Alter Rebbe says, is just wake yourself up a little bit. Just don't be a sleepwalker. Wake yourself a little bit and just think a little bit, even if you're not going to think deeply and know everything. And that itself is also very, very valuable, although not as great as the first level. But if you're just sleepwalking and you're just going through the motions, yeah, you're going to get credit. But can you be called a person who's serving Hashem? Not really. So this is, if you're doing it already, you might as well do it in the best possible way. This is the chapter.
Thank you so much. Very inspiring.
It's good stuff. Listen, this is amazing
good stuff. Very deep and deep. Very right. Who is truly altruistic person who is enjoying it or who does it out of love for the other person.
It's true. It's very deep, but at the same time, it's so practical and it's so real, applied to everything in life. You know,
true.
It's when somebody tells you something and it really, really clicks. So it just means right. That it makes sense on many, many different levels, you know?
Right.
The point of Tanya, the Rebbe used to say this by Fabrengen all the time. The Rebbe would ask a question about something. The Rebbe would give a laugh many times. The Rebbe does many times. They give a little laugh and say, the only reason you have this question is because you're not being practical. You don't understand that we're not talking about something that's flying in the sky. We're talking about something that you actually have to apply to your real life. And therefore, it has to be this and then that. And then the Rebbe would say, and now you can understand why this question is not a question or how to answer the question. Because if you're actually working on applying something to your real life, to the real world, then, things take on a whole different meaning. We're not flying high in the sky. We're not angels disconnected from reality. We're human beings. We're people. Tanya is not something that's flying high in the sky, even though it is flying high in the sky. It has to be applied, and it has to be. Whoever wrote the book Tanya, he tells us in the introduction, in order to apply it to your real life. That's why the Alter Rebbe wrote the book. He didn't write a book that it could be something that is having an out of body experience, some psychedelic, a drug like. He wrote it to apply for real people with real issues to actually take a look at their life and how to, make an impact. And so that's why Alter Rebbe wrote the book. So therefore we have to apply, we have to recognize that it's practical and we have to apply it to what's actually in front of us. And
as essence of everything.
That's right.
The essence of everything, like basically the very essence of all relationship and everything that's happening around us.
This is it, this is it. And we're gonna explain in later chapters and a little bit in Tanya, in later chapter in Tanya also, but really in many of the other discourses of Chassidus called the Maimarim that the Rebbe's explain, the world is a template. The relationship between Hashem and the world is the source for everything. Based on that relationship, Hashem created the relationship between our neshama and our body. And based on that relationship, Hashem created the relationship between human beings. So what works on a friendship level between two people, everybody knows that if you insult your friend to their face, they're not going to be your friend. Everybody knows that if you buy flowers for your friend, you give them gifts, and you tell them nice stuff. No, not to be fake, but you really tell them nice stuff, and it's not. Then everybody knows that that's going to make your relationship with your friend, or your spouse, or your child, or whatever it is, better. We understand this. This is not rocket science. We see it. So based on exactly that template, that type of relationship, everybody understands that if you put good food into your body, you're going to be healthy. Put bad food into your body, you're going to be sick. Everybody understands this. The reason it's like that is because on the spiritual side, it's like that. So it starts with the relationship between Hashem and the world, relationship between our neshama and our body, and then it goes to the relationship. relate all the relationships. My point is that all the relationships are based on the same set of laws, of principles. And the poison for every relationship, the poison, the most poisonous thing you can do is selfishness. If you want to boil it down to one word.
Right.
Self-serving selfishness right. is the poison for every relationship. Silver bullet, or you know, this the single best thing for any relationship is selflessness. So self, putting the other person ahead of yourself, selflessness, this is magic. In any relationship, it's magic. If the other person feels and believes, and you're not just doing it fake, but you're doing it real, you're really, really putting the other person ahead of yourself, magic. There's no relationship that can't blossom, that can't be amazing. So this is what we're talking about here, the relationship between a Jew and Hashem. If you're putting Hashem before yourself, how do you put Hashem before yourself? Very simple. If I want to do something and Hashem doesn't want me to do it, I'm not going to do it. Why not? Because Hashem doesn't want me to do it. Who comes first? Hashem comes first. God comes first. So if that's the case, amazing relationship. But if you do the opposite, well, you know, you understand what happens. So from Hashem's perspective, because Hashem is unlimited, and because Hashem is our creator, he doesn't dump us. But should he have dumped us? Yes, he should have dumped us many long time ago. And that's why we say Moda Ani every morning, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for not dumping me yesterday. You know, Hashem says, I'm not going to dump you because I did create you, because I understand your problems. I understand your issues. I actually created your issues. But I wish that you would be a little bit less selfish, and I wish you would be a little more mindful. So this is what this chapter is talking about. All right.
Thank you so much. Wonderful.
All right. Have a great
Thank
you. Day. All the best.
You too. Thank you.